Today, of course, is the 4th of July. And any time that we use the, any time that I or any other pastor preaches on pretty much anything that has to do with the intersection between faith and culture, or faith and society, or for that matter, faith apart from anything that is a person's individual relationship with God. We always get objections from people. For example, why are you, during the elections, why are you talking about faith and politics? Pope Francis recently came out with an encyclical called Laudato Si. And Laudato Si is all about applying faith and making judgments as to how we should care for the earth. And so it's about the environment. The American bishops in the past have made statements on economics. You have to remember that for the Catholic faith, our sphere of influence, we understand it not to be an isolated influence that is only in reference to my relationship with God as an individual, and stay away from the rest of the issues of our time. From the very moment that you start reading the Old Testament, you begin to see that God, in creating the world, gives specific responsibilities to human beings for care of the earth, for moral conduct, and for rules also of living your life as an individual before God. And so whenever we as Catholics approach our faith, it is not for us to restrict our understanding of faith to only what's going on in my own personal life. That's part of it. But it is also what's happening in our society, what's happening in our culture, what's happening in our relationships with other people in the public square. That has been the way it has been all the time during the history of the church. For us as Americans, it's particularly hard to understand sometimes, because what we have done much in this country is we have restricted religion to a private affair, to something that only belongs between you and God. And what you have to understand is that that is an American misinterpretation of who we are. Yes, of course, our faith has to do with my private relationship between me and God. But our faith is much bigger than that. And it has to participate in what we call the public square. The public square is we have to participate as members of a society And we have to make our voices heard in structuring that society, because we can't just retreat, as it were, into our churches and only private between me and God. And believe me, there are people that get very angry because immediately you start hearing, oh, the church is getting into politics, the church is getting into economics, the church is getting into the environment. And I want you to understand this, because immediately what you hear is we have something called the separation of church and state. And yes, the Catholic Church very much affirms the separation of church and state. But remember where the separation of church and state comes from and what the founding fathers had in mind when they when they chose to put, you know, that kind of that clause in the Constitution about Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion. Remember, just as a kind of a side note, that comes from the experience of the Church of England. When Henry VIII broke away from the Pope back in the 16th century, what he did is he set himself up as the King of England. He set himself up as the head of the Church of England. And as he set himself up as the head of the Church of England, he made being a Catholic a crime. A crime, not only that could get you in jail, a crime in England, the established church was the Church of England. And being a Catholic in England could get you executed, killed for being a Catholic. If you've never heard too much about this, you may have heard of a saint by the name of St. Thomas More. St. Thomas More was an official, chancellor, an official in King Henry VIII's court. And when Henry declared himself to be the head of the Church of England, Thomas More wanted to remain Catholic. And he fought to remain Catholic. And without making his story super long, Thomas was eventually sent to be decapitated, had his head chopped off by Henry VIII, because he refused to acknowledge that the king had authority over the church. And so, remember who founded our country. Our country was founded by Puritans. Now, do you know why they were called Puritans? Because they were Protestants that wanted to purify the Church of England from anything that had to do with the Catholic Church. They were so intense on that that even the Church of England thought they were extremes. And so they were persecuted in England. And so the reason they left England, they came to the United States, was so they could have freedom to practice their faith and not be persecuted. The founding fathers of our nation knew that they didn't want in the United States what happened in England. And so what they said was, Congress, you're not going to take any church, any Christian church, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, and you're not going to make it the national church. Anybody is free to worship in any way. You're not going to establish a state religion. That's where the establishment clause comes in the Constitution. What happens, though, is that a lot of people misunderstand that, and they interpret it as Separation of church and state means that religion must be separated from society and only practiced in the church, in the building of the church. That religion must not have anything to say about what happens in public life. And of course, that is blatantly wrong. If you look at, for example, today that we celebrate the 4th of July, if you look at our founding document, the document that gives the ideology, the whole, the idea behind the founding of the United States, which is the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate today, it begins by using this set in the second sentence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, what's another word for self-evident? Faith. They might as well have said, we have faith in these truths. And what are those truths? That they are endowed by their Creator. Immediately, they are already referring to the Old Testament, and they're already referring to their Christian faith. They're endowed by their Creator. Notice, it's not the state that gives us rights. It's God who gives us rights. And we cannot take them away, nor you cannot even give them away from yourself. For example, they are inalienable, means you can't get rid of them. It means, for example, if you wanted to, you know, you could say, a typical thing these days is to say, my body, my choice. Well, no, because you can't sell yourself into slavery. You can't. You can't sell that. Why? Because the right is inalienable. You can't even give it away yourself. And so they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those come from the Jewish Christian faith. The founding fathers had faith. That's what self-evident means. We're not going to prove these. We're just going to hold them true. And so for us, and if you keep on looking at American history, in American history, for example, the revolt against slavery, the abolitionists were Christians of that era. They stood against slavery. If it wouldn't have been for religion and religion's engagement in the whole issue, the Civil War, of course, the liberation of African Americans would not have happened, because it was Christians who got into it. Who was Martin Luther King? Martin Luther King was a preacher. He was a preacher. And what inspired him? And if you listen to any of his sermons are all with an idea of faith applied to the public square. And so the first thing I want you to understand is that, we shouldn't do it constantly. But today, it's the 4th of July. And I don't think as your pastor I can let it go by without doing some reflection on what's happening in our country and where I think we're headed. And asking you, because this is basically what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you sincerely to pray for the United States of America. Let me tell you something, and I think I've said this to you before. Most of you know that I was born in Cuba, in Havana, Cuba. I was talking to one of our parishioners in the sacristy, a couple of our parishioners, and I was telling them that my first love is for the United States. I feel like I came to the United States when I was 10 years old. And I feel like an adopted child, that I was adopted by this country. And I have been treated very well by this country, and I have been accepted I am an American citizen. And I have grown to love this country. And I think about the way we live as Americans, as Christian Americans, all the time, because I think it's such an exceptional country that it's important that we think about it. And I still have affection for Cuba, but it's the affection of a parent that I haven't seen for a long time. And my primary affection is for the United States. And so when days like this come, the 4th of July, and not only days like this, but you know in the news, there has been a lot going on since the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. Not only that one, but it's also the abortion decision that occurred many years ago, and where things are going in the country, that what you see is a country that is going through a very troubled phase. It's going through a very troubled phase. Let me give you an example of how I understand this. Imagine that you love a person. You love them dearly, and you've grown to know them, and they're super close to your heart. Now imagine that all of a sudden, that person begins to show symptoms. And it's symptoms of different diseases. All of a sudden, they have pains. They have heart problems. They have all kinds of issues are starting to happen to them. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, this person has a sickness that is affecting their immune system. And what's happening is it's being manifested in different diseases that this person is getting because their immune system can't fight it. In my understanding, that's what's happening to us right now. All of us still love being Americans. We do. Whether you're naturalized or you were born here, I love this country, and we do too, all of us. But we're seeing that the body of the country, the body politic of the country, is showing signs that something's wrong. Something's wrong. If you look at all the social signs, for example, one of the things I still can't believe is that almost 50%, I think it's 43, 45, something like that, percent of all children are now born outside of marriage. They're born to single women. We're dealing with lots of different symptoms of a society that something is wrong and it's getting sick. You have very few people now are even getting married. Most of the people that even come to the church to get married are living together. There seems to be a sign of a general kind of whatever. It's almost like we've lost our, not we, but a significant part of our society has lost the criteria for what is makes something right and what is something wrong. A lot of times, if you ask people, why is something right rather than something wrong? Most of the time, they'll tell you, well, that's the way I feel. But there's no thinking behind it. There's no reasoning. And we have become a kind of, we develop a morality that is sort of wishy-washy. Anything that you feel okay towards is okay. What you don't feel okay towards, well, it's not okay. But what we don't do is we don't think. We don't say, well, wait a minute. On what do we base calling this right or this wrong. On what do we base it on? And have to give a coherent answer. And when you go there, what happens is what you see on the screen. If you look at the screen, what you have is the gavel and the typical little wooden platform that a judge would hit. But notice that on the gavel, there are two symbols, the symbol of the cross and the symbol of the Star of David. Basically, Judeo-Christian symbols. But notice that they're broken. Why? Because what's happening is that the general moral tone of the people is becoming reflected in law. And what law, because that's what happens, law is when our morals begin bubbling up and they reach our representatives. And when they reach our representatives, law begins to be made and interpreted. Right now, if you really look at the way that law is developing in the United States, through the Supreme Court, through the laws that are being enacted, and it's not just only towards in-gay marriage, it's the abortion issue, it's the issue of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, just spoke about that we have to rein in this whole notion that we can abuse our planet in any way we want just to make money. We have to be careful because just because we're capitalists, and I think capitalism is a very good thing, but it cannot be capitalism without any morals. Because capitalism without morals, it becomes cutthroat to everyone. And so, yes, capitalism, but at the same time with morals. And so it's not just sexual issues or marital issues, pro-life. Do we even ask the question, ever, when does human life begin? Do you notice we don't even ask the question? All that we do is we say, whatever you want. You decide for yourself. And so there's no thought. And so what's happening? Our country was founded on principles. We hold these truths, not these feelings. We hold these truths to be self-evident. These truths put forth that all men are created equal, that we're created, that we're endowed with inalienable rights. Those are truths that you and I hold no matter how you feel. But what we have done slowly is we're sort of breaking away from what we say, this is our basics, and what we're saying to each other is, whatever. However you feel today, or it's okay. We're no longer seeking the truth. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting, and interesting to discover it. But when Roe versus Wade, the decision on abortion came down, Justice Kennedy said something that has horrified people in philosophy and in religion ever since then. He said, at the center of freedom is the right to define reality as you see it. Now, at first that sounds, well, that sounds good to me. No. So, because if we would have gone with that, the framers of the Declaration of Independence could not have said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. They would have to say, well, you know, it's our opinion. Now, you all can have a different opinion, but our opinion is that these truths are self-evident. And then other people could have said, well, we don't. We don't hold that. If at the center of my freedom is I don't have to look for the truth, I can just make up my truth, so that I can be whatever I identify with. I identify with this, therefore it's true for me. All of a sudden, the whole of society breaks down. And that's why you see the symbols on that little hammer where it strikes, the symbols are broken. Folks, I'm going to wind this up now. We are starting a particular phase, not starting, no, let me take that back. We're in the middle of a particular phase in American history where religious freedom is going to be increasingly in danger. It is. The ultimate, I think, is that lawsuits, not only lawsuits based on the recent Supreme Court decision, but lawsuits based on the way the government is going. The churches and the synagogues are now in a direct collision with where the secular culture of the government is going. Okay? We're going in that direction. And increasingly, you are, as Catholics, now, if you take your Catholic faith seriously, and you strive to not only be individually holy, but you strive to also make your choices based on the gospel. Because even when we talk about elections, we don't tell you how to vote. We tell you the morality behind the issues. You make your decision. But we have an obligation and I have an obligation as your pastor, and the Pope has an obligation, and the bishops do too, to give you the moral quality of the decisions that you're making. Then you make the decisions. And so what's happening is that increasingly our way of looking at life is slowly being put to the side, and sooner or later, if you're serious about being a disciple of Jesus, you may be called a hater because society is going in a different direction. And it's already happened to me a couple of times where for just being a Catholic, I've been called a hater because of this or that. So what we have to stand up for is, first of all, pray for our country. And second, what is it that we're looking for? What is it that we want? Because we don't want to cheat anyone out of their rights. You know, I've said this to several people. I agree with gay rights, for example. Gay rights meaning that people of same-sex attraction should have the same rights that every other American does. They should have the same rights. Now, all that we're saying is we want those rights too. And what's happening is the collision between the two. So, what is the Catholic Church and all other churches seeking? Agnes, if you would give me the closing. I want you to look at this sentence. Religious liberty, this is what we're seeking. Religious liberty is more than freedom of worship. Now stop right there. What is freedom of worship? Freedom of worship means, and please understand, freedom of worship is not small. It's big. If you were living in a different part of the world, in Saudi Arabia, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in many of the places in South America, in Africa, you would be in high danger for just coming to church. You could be killed for doing what you're doing today in comfort in an air-conditioned church. So, freedom of worship means we can come to church and worship however we want. But religious liberty is more than freedom of worship. What is it? It includes our ability, meaning as church or as synagogues, our ability to make a contribution to the common good of all Americans without having to compromise our faith. All we're asking for is that you allow us religious people, even if you disagree with us, allow us to make our contribution to our society and to make it without having to compromise our faith. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for any special treatment. And that is, when you hear the bishops, when you hear your priests talking about this, that's what we're seeking. And please understand, all we're asking for is what any other company has. You know, for example, if you work for, say, Pepsi Cola, as a worker for Pepsi Cola, you ought to have the freedom to promote Pepsi, right? Do you have to have someone in your employment that says, I have the right to wear a Coca-Cola t-shirt to work? No. You're an employee. Do you have the right to promote Pepsi, to promote Coca-Cola? No. Because you have a right as a company to be able to promote what you value without having to compromise. We are asking for the same thing. And so this 4th of July, I'm just asking you to pray for our country. Pray because I think there are some battles ahead of us. And when you hear us talk about faith, please remember that that talk is bigger than just me and God. It includes me and God, but it also includes the morals of being human in every way, shape, or form. It includes the morals of, when is a life a life? How do we respect other people? How do we allow other people to live together in peace and justice? That is part of being a Catholic. And we, those of us who are your pastors, those of us who are bishops and popes, would be false to our promise to Jesus if we did not ever talk about it. And so, today we celebrate. We celebrate because, as I told you, we love this country, and thanks be to God for the Spirit. I'll close with this. If you want to move, for example, say you move to France, you could live there, but you're never going to be a Frenchman. If you move to Italy, you can live in Italy all you want. You're never going to be an Italian. Move to El Salvador. You can live there, but you're never going to be Salvadoran. The United States is the only place where you can move here and become an American. Why? Because it's a country founded on an idea. An idea that all men are created equal. A creed. There was a great author, can't remember his name now, anyway, I'm blanking out. But a great author used to say that America is a nation with the soul of a church. And why? Because to be an American means to believe in the American creed. And the creed is those words of the Declaration of Independence. And so, pray for our country, celebrate, and God bless. And God direct this experiment in democracy. We call our home this experiment in being righteous and being good in the eyes of God, this experiment called the United States. Thank you for your attention.